Good to be here in the house of the Lord, and let's go ahead and start on page 2. Let's stand and start on page 2. Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing the sin I cried, dear to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus, the sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves and He keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at our Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Brother Stephen, you might open some prayer this morning.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us to come to Your house this morning, Lord, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that You might meet with us today. I pray, Father, that You'd gone to our pastoral power and unction to be able to preach Your truth, Lord. I pray You'd speak to our hearts and do a work, Father, that might last for eternity. Lord, we love You. Pray for maybe someone lost out there on the internet today, Lord, maybe in house. I pray that You might draw them and show them their need for salvation before it's everlasting too late. God, we love You. I pray that You give honor and glory for everything that's done. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right, page 164. Praise Him, praise Amen. Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O world, His wonderful open plain. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor, give His glory name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He'll give His glory all. Praise Him, praise Him, fill us with excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, heaven's joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and lived and died. He our rock, our hope, and eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus crucified, sound His praises, Jesus, Lord, love Him, love
wounded and deep and strong. Praise Him, tell His grace of greatness. Praise Him, every joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals out of glory. Jesus, Savior, reign Him forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and praise the King. Christ is coming, over and glory, glorious. Crowning glory in the Lord alone. Praise Him, tell His thanks for greatness. Praise Him, ever and joyful song.
It's good to be here. Good to see people back. Amen. Got some. Sister Joy, it's a blessing to see you back. Amen. And have her back in house with us. And I do appreciate the YouTube. Of course, we're having some issues with it this morning. But nonetheless, it's to be expected. Amen. And we do have some good news. We've got Comcast wire that's run from that pole up towards the building. Amen. And so now you say, preacher, that means it's done. No, it's not done yet. Amen. It's all gradual, little baby steps, but at least we got wire going that direction. And no juice going to it yet, no internet going to it yet. But at least we're headed the right direction. We'll get some internet in here and get it where we can have it with, instead of my cell phone, we can have it through an actual camera and stream it through the hard line. So that'll be a blessing. Also with that, continue to promote it. We're down to 158. We were at 159 last week. I guess I preached too hard. I don't know. But nonetheless, it'll be all right. They probably, if last Sunday's messages offended someone, it was just a matter of time, because I thought they were pretty mild. Amen. They should have waited till this Sunday. No. But nonetheless, we'll be at 157 next week. So that's right. That's right. They're probably already there. Amen. So continue to promote it. Let others know. I'd love to have us at 1,000. We will, Lord willing, we'll be back out in the tent, and we'll still use the cell phone then. And it'd be nice to not have a third party. So let others know. Plus, you know, it's amazing how fast garbage spreads. Amen. Pass the truth. Let them know, hey, there's a church that loves you enough to preach the truth. Amen. Most people get offended at it because they hear the truth when they should be praising the Lord that someone cares enough to tell them the truth. Amen. And nonetheless, let others know, and appreciate the faithfulness. Amen. Well, brother, you got a song? That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Keep it going, brother. Page number 116, everybody. Walk on. Amen. That done us pretty well. See his glasses. Sometimes your pathway may through a certain line, circumstances seem to tell you that there's a reason to try. Walk on for Jesus, walk on in His name. Lifting high the blood-stained banner, walk on in His name. Walk on through shadows where doubt appears to hide. It will crown your path. If in Him we will abide. Walk on, walk on for Jesus, walk on in His name, lifting high the blood-stained banner, walk on in His name. Let's do the second verse one more time, last verse. Walk on.
bloodstained banner. Walk on in His name, lifting high. Walk on in His name.
Amen. You sang that all good.
Let's stand and turn to page 230, Heavenly Sunlight. Amen. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains to the deep bed. Jesus said, I'll never forsake me. Never confess. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, fill my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in Him is the darkness. Ever I'm walking close by side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing His praises, valley I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. 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 Well, it's hard to believe that next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday morning. Yeah, I mean, I know you say, well, preacher, I mean, it just seems like things have been dragging on. Last year, we didn't have service in-house. And, you know, I was just thinking about what a blessing it is this year we'll be able to have for what most folks call Easter Sunday morning. I'll call it Resurrection Sunday morning. It's amazing how many only celebrate two Sundays out of the year. Amen. And I've even had some wanted to know if we were going to have a Christmas Eve service. Now, granted, they wouldn't come to church if Christmas Day was a Sunday, but they wanted us to have a Christmas Eve service. Amen. I told them it sounded Catholic to me. Amen. Amen. And I just praise the Lord that we're able to have service and have it in-house, have it together, and I just rejoice every Sunday. I'll be honest, I don't have to have a special Sunday to remember the resurrection of my Savior, because it should be every day of our life. It shouldn't just be Sunday, it should be every day. Amen? And I've had some ask me, you know, well, why do you have Sunday church? And the Jewish folks still have it on Saturday. And then you have, there's some cults out there that have it on Saturday. And I told you, we're going to be down to 157, aren't we? Maybe 156, but they need to hear the truth too. Amen. And so you say, well, preacher, I mean, why do you have it on Sunday? Because Jesus arose the first day of the week. Amen. I know that everyone thinks that this is the weekend, but really Saturday's the end, Sunday's the beginning. Amen. And boy, we're going to worship because we serve a risen Savior. Amen. I'm thankful that 2,000 years ago He was out of the tomb. And by the way, it was before He ever went into the tomb, He was coming out of the tomb. Amen. And so I'm thankful I can still rest in that. If you would take your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 11. I'm going to preach out of a passage that most are preaching out of. In fact, I was talking to Jonathan. He's using this text as well. And I asked him, I said, son, are you using, when he told me what he was preaching about, I said, are you preaching out of Matthew chapter number 21? Are you preaching out of Mark chapter number 11? Are you preaching out of Luke chapter number 19? Are you preaching out of John chapter number 12? Because this is the account when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, or there nearby Jerusalem, there at Bethany and Bethphage, and he's on the donkey, and he's riding in, and he's presented himself, and most would call this Palm Sunday. In fact, today, most churches are having a Palm Sunday. They're going to have the palm leaves out there. They're going to have the remembrance of, and we're going to look at that in a little bit of detail today. Not necessarily preaching a Palm Sunday message. Amen. I really want us to get something deeper out of it. Then, boy, we're just going to sing Hosanna. Because there's plenty today and next week that are going to be singing praises to the King. But really don't know who He is. Amen. And that's really where I find, even in these texts, most folks are. Because remember, just because they were singing out Hosanna and glory to God, and they were singing out and praising Him, just a short time later, they're crying out, crucify Him. Amen. And so, Mark chapter number 11, when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark 11, verse number 1. Mark 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives. Now, just to give you some geography here to get you to understand, Bethphage is a place there on the Mount of Olives. It's just like a little area that would be there. We would even call it a village that would have been there at that place. He sendeth forth two of His disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on Him, and He sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You, Father, for the truth that we have in Your Word. And Lord, that we can come today. And Lord, I pray, Father, in my intellect and my knowledge, Lord, I can but scratch the surface. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would give me that power, give me that knowledge, give me that wisdom, Lord. But Father, I pray that Your Spirit would deliver the message today. Lord, that You would help us to understand
how this applies to us and how we need to come. And Lord, where we are in this group. And Lord, just so much to be dealt with. Oh, Father, we live in this day where there's many that will tell you how close we are to the end. There's many that will proclaim that they love you. But Lord, where are they today? And Lord, I'm afraid that our actions speak so much louder than our words. Father, would you just touch us? Have your will and way in the service. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There's such a confusion over the death of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Most folks are going to look at this Friday as Good Friday. Now, the only time I ever looked at a Friday as being Good Friday because I got paid every other Friday. And so the Fridays that I got paid on, it was a Good Friday. Amen. And the others weren't as good of a Friday. Not that they were a bad Friday, but they just weren't as good. Amen? I didn't get paid that Friday. And I would have some folks at work, boy, they'd come in and they're all excited and it's Good Friday and they didn't understand why we didn't have it off. And I said, it's because Jesus didn't die on a Friday. If we were to go back, now I don't want to make your eyes bug out, but if we were to go back and understand just a little bit about the Hebrew calendar, we realize that their day began at sunset. And Jesus could not have died on a Friday and stayed 3 days and three nights in the tomb. It's just simple math, all right? I don't want to confuse you. But the first night, I guess if you would, that he had went into the tomb was actually would have been what we considered our Tuesday night. And he would have been. Now listen, it was the night and the day. The night and the day. The night and the day. And I know you're going to go, preacher, you're confusing me. Just bear with me a moment. 3 days and three nights complete. The very last night, which would have been that Sabbath night. And you say, well, preacher, but the Bible teaches us that it was the Sabbath. May I remind you of what time of year it is? It would have been the Sabbath. In fact, there would have been high Sabbaths. It would have been the time of the unleavened bread. It would have been the time of the Passover. And those were high Sabbaths. Sabbath just didn't mean Saturday. Amen. It was the high time that they were to abstain and they weren't able to do. And so the ladies would not have been, even though they knew where the tomb was. And we always look at that and we say, well, the ladies went early Sunday morning. May I tell you, they were released Saturday at sunset because that was the beginning of Sunday. They did not go to the tomb until it was daylight because they couldn't get there. What were they doing? May I tell you that they were probably preparing some spices that they weren't able to do when it was the Sabbath. Because they kept the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. They kept the Passover. They kept the Sabbath day on Saturday. But then once they were released, what were they doing? They were getting ready to tend to their Savior that they thought was in the tomb. Amen. And so there's such confusion and folks would say, well, you know, this is Palm Sunday and yes, this was about 5 days, 5-6 days before the Passover. But may I remind you that the Passover lamb was slain on the day of preparation, not on the Passover day. Amen. And so I look here and I find that there, because of all of this that's taken place, well, we find a group of people that are all excited. What are they looking for? A king. They're looking for a king. May I tell you that there's many out there today because of the turmoil that's going on in our country. It is amazing, and I will bring this up. I don't care if you like guns or don't like guns. I've had guns for years, and not a single gun has ever done anything that it wasn't supposed to do. Amen. And isn't it amazing that there's more gun shootings in the time of presidency when the president is against guns than when the president's okay with guns? And oh, by the way, go ahead and restrict it. Restrict the people that abide the law, because the people that don't are going to have them anyway. Amen. Just kind of common sense there. But no, there's enough people that say, oh, the guns are awful, and why do we need this? And why? There's plenty of legitimate gun owners that do nothing wrong. Amen. And they can have any platform that they want and not have a thought of shooting someone about it. Amen. I grew up in a time that everyone in high school had a gun in their vehicle. We did. Not one time did anyone think about going. In fact, all of us carried pocket knives. We didn't have any metal detectors, one. Maybe it's because we had common sense. It's not common. right. It's just sense. Amen. But look now. Look at what's taking place. Everyone in America would tell you how we need some changes. We need some things to go. And boy, I'm not against our former president at all. But it's amazing to me at how many people are still holding on to the fact that he's to be the next president, even in 2020. May I tell you what we're past? Hold on a second. They want reform. And they, well, this is still going to work. And they're holding on to a false hope. You know, it's funny when I mention to someone that I'm a preacher or that I'm a pastor, and even that I mention that I'm a child of God, they'll begin to tell you about how we're in trouble. We are. As a nation, we're in trouble. But as a people, we're in trouble. And they'll tell us how close we are to the end days. They'll tell us about all of the wickedness that's going on. But you know what they want? The same people that Israel, or the same thing that Israel wanted. A king. They want someone to step up that's going to take over and get it back to what they consider to be the norm. Amen. But Jesus didn't come as this, did he? But there's one here. There's one in this group that knew Him as the Redeemer. Knew Him as the Redeemer. And you're going, well, preacher, the 12 disciples are there. And so they knew Him as Redeemer. Nope, they didn't know Him as Redeemer. They knew Him as Master. But they didn't really know Him as Redeemer yet. In fact, if we were to go back and look at enough Scripture, we know that when He had told them about His death, that Peter rebuked Him. And He said, you're not. No, you're not going to. This isn't going to take place. You're coming to lead. We could even look over at Luke chapter number 22 and the two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. What did they say? We thought that He was the one to redeem Israel. But I'm not talking about the king. I'm talking about the Lamb. You see, there's one in this group that knew Him as the Lamb. And He's the one that, well, really, He doesn't say a word. But He does the most. In fact, I would even tell you that He's the closest to Him. You say, preacher, how in the world? Who in the world? How does this happen? Well, over in the book of John, chapter number 1, and you don't have to turn there, in verse number 29, you remember that John the Baptist had reported that Jesus is the Lamb of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and what does he say? Behold! The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He starts to scream it out. Behold! And he wants others to see it. But there's one that already knew Him as the Lamb that was the Redeemer. In Exodus chapter number 13, in verse number 13, the Bible says, in every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. May I tell you who it is that knew Jesus, the Lamb, had a Redeemer, or as a Redeemer? It was the one that He was on. That donkey was redeemed by a lamb before he could ever carry the king. That'll preach. You understand where we are today? There's many that want to proclaim Him to be king, but they've never known Him as the Lamb. The only way that I can... Oh, by the way, because I'm redeemed, what an honor it is to lift Him up as king. Amen. I know Him as the real king because I know Him as the real Lamb. Should not our life be... Now, hold on. I'm going to step on some toes today. But should our life not be lived to the glory of God? Because He was the Lamb that redeemed us. This colt, if a lamb did not redeem him, wouldn't have even been alive. But yet there was a lamb that had died. Oh, I can hear his mama. You say, preacher, what in the world would his mama said? Son, you remember that lamb that died for you. You see, because before this colt was ever born, there was a lamb that was already prepared. Hold on. I know we don't like to make this application. We don't like to say how God would do this. But did you not notice in Exodus 13 and verse 13, as much as it was for that donkey that was supposed to be killed or redeemed, it was also for the children of man. May I tell you, He didn't just die for that old animal. He died for this old sinner. And so I look and I find that this old colt, this old donkey, did everything that he could to be as close to Christ as he could be. I just simply titled this, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. Notice, if you would, I find the purity of the colt. The purity of the colt. The Bible teaches us here in Mark chapter number 11. He teaches us in verse number 2. He goes on and he says, "And say unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt." Now notice this. "Whereon never man sat." Brother Randy Sutherland, which is now the pastor of Concord Baptist Church after Brother Sammy Allen, he was Sammy Allen's assistant pastor for many years. He preached a message years ago about keeping our virginity, losing our purity. May I tell you where we are today as a church? We're keeping our virginity and losing our purity. There's a problem that we have, children of God, is the fact that we don't have the purity of this colt. And the Bible tells us, "Whereon never man sat." We have, that means that he did not learn the ways of the world. Is it not sad to you how much we know about the place that we're supposed to be separated from? We teach our children the talk, the entertainment, the fashion, everything about this world that we're supposed to abstain from. Amen. We know their music and their dance. I remember when Sister Sarah was in the children's church teaching it for many years, that she had a young girl that had came in and was showing her what she had learned in her dance classes. She's doing the dirty dancing. May I tell you, it's not cool to teach your children how to live like the world. Amen. I know, boy, old society says it's all right. Now listen, I don't have a girl. I don't have a daughter. I've got three boys. And I look here and I just think about this and the purity of this colt. Now, do we have any idea how many perverts are out there? The only ones that we know is the ones that have been caught. Amen? But there are many out there. Now, I don't know. I have boys. But I don't think that as a dad with daughters that I would feel any different. I don't want a pervert checking out my boys. Amen? I don't think that as a dad with girls that I'd want a pervert checking out my girls. So I'm not going to dress them in something that they'd check them out. I'm just being honest. I know we live in a society that says that yoga pants and tights and all this garbage is fine, and it's not. It has not. God is not in it. And the church is not getting more pure, we're getting more worldly. And the acceptance, you know, it's amazing to me at how many big-name evangelists are out there, and they know, listen to me, I'm going to preach and chase a rabbit for a moment. It gets under my skin that evangelists and missionaries and everyone knows what molds to fit in and what churches they go to. It's not hard. You watch our YouTube page, you know how I preach. You know what I preach against. Amen. You go to our website, you know where we stand. And it's amazing to me that they will stand one way while they're here. Oh yeah, we're against all this. Oh yeah, and some. And you'll see them out somewhere else and they're fine with it. I'm afraid that we're the same way. Hello. Either we believe the Bible, that means we're going to live it, or we don't really believe it. We say we're King James Bible believers. But if we believe it, don't we do it? Just a thought. I mean, this colt had not been polluted by this world. And so I look and I think, Brother Stephen, you've got a responsibility. You've got, Allie, how old are you? You're about to be 11, so she is a whopping 10 years old. Brother Stephen, if you had a diamond ring, 2-carat, I don't know, jewelry, but I would think 2 carats, pretty good, right? Pretty good. And that's Allie's diamond ring. All right, that's hers. And you're entrusted in it to hold on to it. Brother Duke, same thing. You got a 2-carat diamond ring for Michaela. Michaela's, I already see her eyes going. Brother Sutton, same thing. Brother Jackie, same. Brother Russell. Brother Richard. That represents her purity. Who are you going to give it to? Who are you going to trust it with? I remember when Sarah came down the aisle and there was one person that brought her down. And when the pastor had asked who's presenting her for marriage, her dad said, I do. Why? Because he was handing her to me. Because then she's my responsibility. But until then, guess whose responsibility she is? She's yours. Amen. And everything you allow, everything that you wouldn't... Now listen, I love Jeremiah to death. Brother Stephen, it's only 2 carats. Just let Jeremiah take it and run with it. And you say, preacher, he's going to lose it. Yeah, he probably would. Now, he actually holds on to stuff pretty good. But he's 5. Is he really ready? Is she ready? You're going to give it to her and say, Allie, 10 years old, here's a 2-carat. Now, Brother Duke, Michaela's older than 10. But I still don't think she's ready. Callie, I'm not trying to be mean. Brother Sutton, you think she's ready? I mean, she can make those decisions and, boy, she's got it and she can give it to whoever she wants. No, hold on. I'm not talking about an arranged marriage. I'm talking about purity. But can I tell you something? This was a little boy that was tied up. You're saying, preacher, I mean, I've got my girl and I'm going to protect her. It's important that we protect the boys. Caleb, it was a little boy that was tied up. It wasn't the little girl that was tied up. It was a little boy. I don't care if he's 21. I don't care if he's almost 22. I don't care if he's almost 26. Listen to me. I'm still their daddy. Guess whose house they're tied up to? I know you say, well, Preacher John lives over there by himself. Guess whose house he's still tied up to? Amen. It's important. It's very important. And so I look and I think about the purity that we have. And you say, well, preacher, it's really not that bad. I'm afraid that our innocence has been removed and now we stand just as Adam and Eve did, that we're exposed and naked before the Lord. You say, well, preacher, you know, that's old-fashioned preaching. Jeremiah had asked us the other day. Take your Bible, turn over to the book of Genesis. Jeremiah asked us the other day. He said, Dad, what's old-fashioned mean? I said, you're doing it right. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 34. You'd say, well, preacher, I mean, really, is it going to matter? Is it going to hurt? Yeah. I wonder who we let them be exposed to. Genesis 34, this is Jacob's only daughter. Only daughter, Dinah. In Genesis 34, verse number 1, Genesis 34, the Bible says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Sounds innocent, does it not? Sounds so innocent. She was just going out, being neighborly, going to talk to the neighborhood kids, going to see what all's going on. They might have a basket weaving class. But mind you, it doesn't take very long for your daughter or your boy to meet the sons and daughters of the land before the opposite's going to meet them. Amen. Notice this. Look at verse number 2. I was up here turning pages. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. That simple word defiled means made dirty, no longer pure. So I find as well that this, the purity of this colt, not learned in the ways of the world, but I find as well that they're not living in the want of the world. Not living in the want of the world. You say, preacher, what's this speaking about? Well, I find here that when these two disciples come up, where's the colt? The Bible just tells us that he was tied to the pole. He was tied right there. I picture it, you know, I don't know how it looked. Sister Kathy, I picture this high porch. You know, that boy, they had to walk up on the steps, and here's this banister that goes over. And I just picture, you say, well, preacher, why do you? I don't know why. That's just how I picture it. Use your imagination a little bit. Amen. It's all right. And so I picture them coming up here, and they take a couple steps up, and they have to loose this colt. Now, there's something that I know about colts. Now, I don't know anything about donkey colts, but I do know about just horses. And there's never been one colt that likes to be tied up. Amen. I mean, as soon as you put a lead around them, what are they doing? Same thing that a little puppy does. They put on the brakes. You say, well, preacher, they're standing still. They're at the... I find that he's not trying to yank that banister down. Amen. Either A, he's given up, or B, he's content where he is. You know what would do us some good today is be content. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It would do us good today to come to the place where we aren't desiring the things of the world. And last Sunday night, I was preaching about Ruth and Boaz. Isn't it amazing at how Ruth was just staying content in Boaz's field? Why? There wasn't anywhere else that she needed to go. May I tell you, as a child of God, the things of this world and the ways of this world aren't what we really want. Old Satan says it's going to be good. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden and ask Eve if she really thought that fruit tasted as good as the results of it. How many times has Satan lured us out and said, boy, you're going to want this. It's going to make you happy. It's going to make you great, great enjoyment to only end up empty. And yet I find that time after time after time, we sit there and instead of being tied up for the Lord to use us, we want to be loosed from Him. Amen. I told you last Sunday night, Jeremiah had asked us what the sign above the door said, and he spelled it out to us. I said, it's what most people are looking for in a church, the exit. Amen? And so, it's amazing that this colt is just right there and ready. Maybe that colt knew something that we didn't. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'm reading the biography, and I know I gave a quote from him or spoke about him last week, and I'm reading the autobiography of Hudson Taylor. I haven't read Hudson Taylor's autobiography. I definitely know of him and know some accounts of him, but just reading his autobiography. And when he was desiring or felt that the Lord was sending him to China, he even got rid of his feather bed. You say, preacher, why did he get rid of his feather bed? Because he was worried that he would be too soft for the work of the Lord. You say, well, what in the world? A feather bed. Now we're looking and we're going, I think if I went to a feather bed, I'd be going, doing good. Amen. Brother Sutton, we were just talking. Listen, I don't like sleeping on the ground. Amen. I know I just turned 48. It's not as fun as it was when I was 20. Amen. And I don't think it's that much fun. But old Hudson Taylor said, I was afraid that I was going to get too soft. I wonder where we are today. We're always looking for the comfort and the conveniences of this old world. And that colt was just tied up there so that the Lord could use him. It'd be good for us to be tied to the right yoke. Amen. In that place where God could use us. I find as well, I look here and I find the place of the colt. It wasn't just the purity of the colt that mattered, it was the place of the colt. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 21. This is the account, the parallel of it. Same story, same times. I just want to bring something else out that we have in the book of Matthew. I find here in Matthew chapter number 21, I want you to look at verse number 2. In verse number 2 of Matthew chapter number 21, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Whew, hold on. Some of you didn't get that. You're going to find the mama, and you're going to find the baby. You're going to find the two together. Notice this. He goes on down into verse, or he continues on. He says, Bring them unto me. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 3. And if any man say aught of you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. Notice the place of the colt. I find that it's a place of design. You know what's happening today? And I know I preach it quite a bit, but the house, the home, is being destroyed. Did you see God's design? Where was that colt? Yeah, he was tied, but why was he there? Because that's where his mama was. It'd do us good. Now listen, here's the greatest influence that we have. Our walk. You remember when Brother Danny was here and he was talking about Noah and Noah's wife was, Mrs. Noah was following Noah, and then you have Ham, Japheth, and Shem, and they're following behind, and then their wives are following. Hold on a second. What happened today? May I tell you that Satan just hasn't made it perverted. He hasn't just disrupted the home because he's had it to where now we can have same-sex marriage and just the, don't worry, pedophilia and bestiality, it's all coming right behind it. And boy, all the corruption and all the perversion. And you say, Preacher, what's happened to the home? No, hold on. Satan's thrown a bigger curveball than that. Because I don't see any of you desiring to go out and have same-sex marriage and have a home like that. That's not... But may I tell you, he's disrupting the church because he's disrupting the home by distractions. Yeah. Mama's got her schedule. Daddy's got his schedule. The youngins have their schedule. And every day of the week, listen, we were going crazy just in doctor's appointments this last week. The dogs had doctor's appointments on Monday. Jeremiah had a heart appointment on Tuesday. Wednesday, we decided we needed a cast. The Friday before that, he had broke his arm. And so we had to go to the emergency room. And then, this next week, he's got a dentist appointment Tuesday. Wednesday, we go back to see the doctor, and they're going to x-ray him on his cast. And boy, we've got all these things going on, and we're going to be here, and we're going to be there. Now, there's one thing that normally happens. Usually, it's just one. I'm thankful we're in the position now that it's both of us. And I, even when I was working, I would try to take off when I could, so that I could be with Sarah if I needed to be and help her in those times. But I'm afraid that we've worried about keeping our children with all the cool kids and the cool doings. And we had our boys involved. We had our boys involved. But you know what's missing today? Just some good old family time. It is. It's missing. And even for us, we get busy and Sarah gets to... We're together while I'm on the tractor. How much are we talking? I'll wave at her when I'm going by. Amen. Satan's distracted us. And it's destroying the home. You say, well, we're together. But we're not together. We're on our devices. Hello. We're preoccupied with everything else going on. And I get busy. I get to thinking about things. I get to doing things. And we've got our agenda, and I've got my goals, and Sarah's got her goals, and Jacob's got his goals. Jeremiah's got his goals. You know what's happening? Families are no longer families because of events and schedules. I'm thankful that the donkey's there, this colt's there, and his mama's right there by him. I don't find her trying to pull away. I don't find her trying to meet her agenda. And no, it's just going to be right there because that's where she's supposed to be. Amen. And I look and I say, glory to God. It's His design. But I find as well that they're at a place of decision. Place of decision. Notice back over in Mark chapter 11. All I'm doing is trying to bring out some things that God's revealed to me and try to be a blessing to you. But I look here at Mark chapter number 4. I'm sorry, Mark chapter number 11, verse number 4. The Bible tells us in Mark 11 and verse 4, it says, "And they went their way and found the colt tied to the door without in a place," notice this, "where two ways met." The place of the colt, he's in a place of decision. Now, he had already been redeemed by a lamb, or he wouldn't have been there. May I tell you, every day we're at a place of decision. Every day you're going to have that place. And there may be some that are listening right now that you're at that place of decision, and it is salvation. And may I tell you, there's not a greater need that you have. Brother Richard and I was just talking the other day about the fact that someone would say, "Well, you know, just because you don't believe what the Bible says about who Jesus is doesn't mean you couldn't be saved." Oh, it absolutely does mean you can't be saved. If you don't believe what the Bible says who Jesus is, that's who's saving you. Amen. If you're trusting in Him to be something contrary to what the Bible tells us that He is, you're not trusting in the right way. Hello? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And so if you're trusting in another way, you're in the wrong way. And so I look and I find this place of decision. It was a place where He was going to have to decide as soon as He was loosed from that door. He was going to decide which way He took. And everyone has that same decision to make. Are you going to be sanctified? Are you going to be separated? Are you going to be consecrated? Are you going to be surrendered? Are you going to let God have His way? Listen, these are all decisions. You say, "Preacher, I already made that decision. Did you make it today?" Because every day that you walk out that door, you're at the place where two ways meet. Amen. Every day. You say, "Preacher, I don't feel like making the decision today." Then you already made the wrong decision. And so I looked here that it was the place of the colt. But I'm thankful that God, in spite of us, is faithful. Amen. And I look and I find the preparation for the colt. The preparation for the colt. Now, there was a leading before loosing. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, let's think back now. Jesus told two of His disciples, what did He tell them? "Go get the colt and loose him." Now, some of you didn't get that. May I tell you, He was already leading before that colt was ever loosed. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit's already guiding before we ever have a decision to make? Aren't you glad that God's way and His preparation is already there and He's already got everything in place before we take our first step? Amen. Those disciples came and listen, I don't know how they did it, but I don't see in the Bible, it does not tell us that they grabbed a hold of that colt and they got him by the lead and they yanked him and forced him there. The Bible doesn't show us that. You know why? Because God's leading is that gentle touch. And He didn't force the colt to come. No, He wooed the colt to come. Amen. Oh, it's much easier. Listen, we think that God, oh, and yes, He wants a willing vessel. And He wants us to be willing. But praise God for all He's done. Should we not be willing? And I look here. And I find this colt. Everything's been prepared for him. Jesus already knew where he was before he was ever there. Isn't it amazing? They weren't there. That's not something that they passed. He didn't tell them, "Hey, remember that colt that we passed?" No, that was before. And Jesus already knew that colt was there. And that colt needed him to bring him to the Savior. Not so that he could be a Savior. He's already been redeemed. But so that he could lift him up as king. What a great honor it is that we were led all the way, not just to the Savior, but to the King. I watch people day in and day out that'll make a testimony, or that will give you a testimony of a profession when they prayed a prayer. But there's very few that lift him up as king. Amen. Not with their life. And so I look as well, I find not Not just now, in this preparation for the colt, not just the leading before loosing, I find the coats of compassion. What did the disciples do when they came to the colt? Now, I don't know why. I don't know why they did it. I don't understand all of it. And I'm sure that there's some scholars out there that are much, much wiser than I am that would tell you all the reasons why they did it. But can I tell you why they did it? Because of the, biblically, can I tell you why they did it? Because Jesus said that my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
Amen. These two disciples, I can see them leading this colt. Now, where's Mama? She's with them. If we were to look at the whole account in Matthew 21, Mama's not left his side. Mama's still there. And I look here and I find that these disciples, they took these coats and they put it on. May I tell you that when we had horses growing up, there was one item that you always put on before you put the saddle on, and that was a blanket. May I tell you, it wasn't for me, the rider. It was for the horse. Amen. So, preacher, why is that? So that the horse didn't get saddle sores. So that the horse didn't have that heat rubbing on it. And I know that blanket's hot because, boy, you'd take it off and you'd take that saddle off and that blanket would just be drenched. But it'd comfort that colt. Aren't you glad God comforts us? You say, well, preacher, I mean, how awful it is to think that he's going to have to lift up the Savior. He didn't mind. He didn't mind at all. Now, there's some that would say that this is just, they say that it's symbolic for like the robes of righteousness. And boy, you know, we get that robe. God redeems us and then He puts His robe of righteousness on us. I like that. But you know what I was thinking? King has a flag. Now, in biblical days, they called it a banner. He had a banner. You know what the Bible tells us that his banner is? His banner over us is love. Now, hold on a second. This colt's going to walk down the road covered in the grace and the love of God on him. But what did they do? These coats of compassion wasn't just on him. They went before him. Woo! I'm telling you, do you want to talk about what God does? He just takes us and He covers us with His love. And then every step that we get to have before Him, what were they doing? They were taking off their garments and putting them before that. You say they were putting it before the Lord. Who was the Lord on? And boy, he was just walking in the love of God. You know how we get to walk today? Listen, God's prepared that for us. It's not because we're anything special. No, it's because He is. And He gives us all the grace to keep going. He gives us the love to carry forward. Amen. He's prepared all of this for us. And so I look here and I find the purpose of the colt. The purpose of the colt. Why did He choose him? Well, if we were to look at Matthew chapter number 21, the Bible tells us in verses 4 and 5 that it was to fulfill the prophecy. That this was already prophesied that Jesus was going to be riding in. And so I look at it and I find that the purpose of the colt is to live for the plan of Christ. You know what's sad to me? And I told you earlier that every one of us have goals. Everyone in my family has goals. Everyone's sitting out here. And it might not be long-range goals, but y'all have goals. Y'all have things that you want to accomplish. But have you ever desired for it to be that you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish? I had shared with you, I'm reading the autobiography of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor had went off to London to study in medical school. He was sewing some pages, some parchment together for notes, and he had pricked his finger the night before class. That day in class, now he was going as a medical student so that he could go to China as medical, so he could get in the border. And the cadaver that he was working on had died of the fever. That day, everyone is being very careful as they're working on this cadaver. And later that day, he starts to feel sick. In fact, to the point that he could barely stand. And he talks to his surgeon that's given the class. And the surgeon immediately said, "You obviously cut yourself." And he said, "I did not cut myself. I did not cut myself." And the instructor is scrutinizing his fingers, making sure that he didn't cut himself anywhere. And he remembered that he had pricked his finger with a pen. And the teacher said, "Absolutely, that would contaminate you." He said, "You need to go back, get a cab ride home, get your things in order. You are a dead man." And Hudson Taylor's response was, "Unless I've made a big mistake, God has work for me to do in China. I will not die. I may be sick, but will not die because God's not done with me." You know what the plan of this cult was? To live for the Lord. That was it. What happened to the cult afterwards? I don't know. Does it matter? He did everything that the Lord wanted him to do. Not one time was he mentioned. Not one time was he seen or showed or lifted up. We don't even know the name of the cult. Amen. And yet I find here that his whole purpose was to be a willing vessel. You know, it's funny to me that God uses the illustration of an old stubborn donkey that lived a surrendered life for Him. And I have people that will say, "Well, preacher, you know, it's baby steps, it's baby steps." And I get it. I get it. But I don't know that it's a liable excuse. I don't know that God's going to accept it as an excuse. The truth of the matter is He shows us where to do it. This old donkey never had anyone ride on him. Now, I've broke a few horses. A few horses have broke me too. And it hurts. I'm sure it hurts a lot more now than it did when I was younger. But, brother, that colt didn't buck him off. It was even a challenge on some of them to get a blanket on them, let alone the saddle, and then tighten it up. Some of them, it was just a difficult feat trying to get a bit in their mouth, and then the bridle over their ears. And yet, I find that all he wanted to do was live for the Lord. Not one time did he buck. Not one time did he run. Not one time did he do anything except stay there for the Lord. And so I find that the purpose of the colt was to live for the plan of Christ. I find as well that he was to lift up the peace of Christ. You see, Jesus was coming in, riding on a donkey. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Well, because a horse was prepared for battle. When the king would come out and he was on a horse, it was for a battle. Revelation chapter 19, what's Jesus riding on? Horse. Amen? But why was it that he's to lift up the peace? Because the battle's already won when you've been redeemed. Amen? Oh, hey, we're going to be riding on a horse in Revelation 19. But may I tell you that we're not fighting. The battle's already won. Amen. And so I look and I find that we're to bring in the peace of Christ. You know what's happening in this world? Oh, they all want a king. And they all want peace. But you'll never have peace until you see Him as Savior. Amen. And so I look and I find that the purpose of this cult was to lift up the peace of Christ. But then I find as well that he was lift up the praise of Christ. He was to lift up the praise of Christ. Did you notice that no one began to praise the Lord until he was on the donkey? Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that this donkey even brayed one time. I don't even know that you heard a hallelujah in donkey out of him. And God could have allowed him to be in Balaam's time and actually spoke. I don't even know that you would have seen this donkey But I guarantee you that you would have seen a tear in his eye. Say, preacher, why is that? Because his mama was right beside him and said, son, you remember the lamb that died for you to live? He's on top of you today. And he's just lifting up the praise for the lamb that died for him. Listen to me. It wasn't about the donkey. It was all about the king. How sweet it is to know that we're nothing but an old wretched sinner, and yet we can lift up the praise for the Lord. Don't know how to walk, but He's going to lead me along. And all along that path, His love guides me by His grace. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Lord. Thank You for the truth that we have in Your Word. Oh, Father, I know we don't like to associate ourselves. We don't like to take that responsibility, Lord, to say that this could be us. But, Lord, this is Your whole intent, that we'd come to that place that we just desire to be used of You. Lord, let us lift You up today. Let us praise You today. You were worthy then, and Lord, You're worthy now. Lord, take this invitation. Use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. I encourage you to come. Just an old donkey. Just an old donkey.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah.
God speaking to your heart.
That all is lost.
I don't know your need today. Thankful God does.
Little John,
He knows what door you're tied to.
By leaning on His bosom,
so He knows exactly
for
where you
moment,
are, exactly what you need, exactly how to love you.
Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no way. He makes a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has and adore Him.
Glad I'm tied to the right
road. I can see no way. He makes a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want. Yeah. song.